The last patient interviewed for this program is a whimsical and entertaining young man who, like the first two patients, was able to reach inside himself and find the strength to deal with this intimidating situation.
This whole experience hasn't been unpleasant for me. You know, I've thrown up a few times when I first got chemo, and then I never threw up again. So it's really been not bad. I mean, I've had worse flus in my life. It's just been real manageable. I've been real lucky to have a treatable disease anyway. It's not that it's curable, but it's treatable.
What was sort of your reaction or your mental state when you first found out about the problem?
Freaked out, you know, a lot of crying, didn't want anyone to know, you know, you think you're going to die. I remember being in the hospital and thinking I wouldn't wake up, so I could never go to sleep. I was always up, and so they had to shoot me with Ativan, which really calmed me down, and I could go to sleep or I could stay up. It was a real mellow, whatever it was, anxiety reducer. And I kept wondering, it just didn't seem right to me that I was going to die, and I had all these things I wanted to do, so I just suddenly became... It's either you keep living in this misery of death around the corner every day, or you get real positive and go and do things that you've always wanted to do that you're always scared to do before. And so in the hospital, I made that decision that I was going to be positive and proactive about it and not dwindle in the scary part. And since then, I've done a lot of things that I've always wanted to do. I have my own TV show now. I always wanted to do that, but for some reason never had the balls to do it. And so I do a lot of things like that. I'm a lot more aggressive in business and life, and I do a lot more fun things that I've always, I don't know, just when you think you might die, you know, your whole life changes and all those little problems and things you're scared of before are all out the door. So it's a real kind of freeing experience in the same way as it's a very scary experience.
Who were you sort of sharing this with? Who were you talking to at that time?
My friends, I guess, and my family. You know, I had a bunch of people who were always coming to see me every day, and I was a little, like, room full of people, and it was good that everyone was always positive and up, and they weren't, like, my mom was with me every day, and my ex-girlfriend, and all these people flew in, were staying with me, and my brother. If any of them would have showed emotion, it would affect me greatly, but everybody was really good and not to be sobbing and crying, and it kept me that way, too. You know, your emotional wreck, you know, the first stages of realization. But the quicker you get to the positive part, the better you can help yourself. And I really felt like that was a big deciding factor in me getting better, was me deciding that I was going to get better.
Had you ever faced a serious health or safety problem before?
No.
So this is all new?
Yeah, it's completely new. I never really get sick either. So it was a very new experience for me.
How long a period of time was it that, you know, you were kind of, I don't know, in limbo or before you're able to find this sort of strength you're describing?
I would say a few days into it, I decided if I was going to die, I was going to go out being happy. And that's a very hard thing to decide upon for some reason because you think you're going to die every day. I just decided, and I had another friend that went through it too, and she was real positive, and she's through it. You know, I'm not saying that's a cure by any means, but it's definitely a cure to a good ending of a life. You know, you can be scared and freaked out, or you just be happy and you go do the things you want to do while you can do them. And I just really had a feeling like there was something else meant for me that I needed to do. And that kept coming back to me. And then I just realized I had to just go with that and see what happened, be positive and get through it as best you can.
As you were sort of thinking this through and sort of coming to terms with it, again, I'm just kind of curious, was it more an internal process going on, or was there somebody or some people that you were discussing this with?
It was more internal, because that's the one thing about it. It's you're the guy sitting in the bed in the hospital room surrounded by all your friends, looking out at them instead of looking at your friend in the bed. And you go on the internet, and then it starts showing you the fatality rate and the odds, which freaks you out. So you have to just take that kind of with a grain of salt also and decide your own path. But it was a lot of me by myself figuring through it.
Again, during that initial period, what was explained to you specifically in terms of the kind of therapy that you'd get and sort of what to expect from the future?
It was explained to me that there's no cure, and it was a slow-moving disease, and I was a younger person to be getting an older man's disease. And they said if there were treatments, I wasn't responding to treatments, I could always do a bone marrow transplant, which is kind of like a last, you know, ditch effort. And the odds of that still aren't that strong, you know, of it taking. So I always knew there were some desperate roads I could take, but I also knew there were a lot of things I could do right away with treatment that my doctor's taking me through now. I'm lucky that I respond to these things really well, and I seem to be healthy enough to handle them. But while I was getting treatment, sitting in the room in your lazy boy chair, you know, I see one of my buddies across the room, an older guy who's a lawyer in Fort Myers, and he has the same type of disease, and he's had it for 25 years. So talking to him, I was like, you know, how do you deal with it? I mean, do you ever think you're going to die or something? And he said, I'll go into remission, I'll come out, I'll be good for a month, I'll be good for 6 months, you know, I'll come back out, I'll get some other. He said, there's always been a silver bullet treatment that comes up that I can take, you know. Anyways, he's done it for 25 years, which I thought was really impressive. And I feel like there's going to be something like that for me also. And if it comes down to a bad situation where I'm not responding anymore, I have a bone marrow match, which is my brother, and hopefully by then it'll be a little better odds of it taking.
Are you in treatment right now?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of treatment are you receiving?
I'm on Campath right now, which are just shots I get every other day. And I'm getting 36 of them, and I think I'm around 28 now or 26. So I've got a couple more weeks, 3 more weeks or so, and then they'll stop me and I'll get a break and they'll just keep checking my blood to make sure my levels stay down.
How's that been?
It's been pretty good. It's very easy to do. You know, it's not like other treatments where you're getting hooked up an IV and you have to sit there for 6 hours or whatever all day and then you can leave. This, I can come in, get a shot, and I can leave. Kind of like Procrit a little bit. And it's been really a good drug. I've had no side effects from it that I'm aware of, and my numbers are really good right now, so I'm very fortunate for that. And he also said if it doesn't work, there's some really new good stuff coming out, you know, so there's a little promise of other things that I can do later, so that's good. And it's a real easy treatment.
What other therapies have you had?
Well, I'm doing this Campath now. Before that, I did Rituxan.
How was that?
Before Rituxan, I came off my main chemo, my first chemo I did for 6 months. Then they started doing me with Rituxan. And so I kept comparing it to the chemo regimen. And it was similar, but, you know, I was there, I think, for maybe 45 minutes instead of being there for 5 hours sitting getting chemo. And at first, I had reactions to it. I think the first time I got it, I remember getting a real big heat rush through my body and feeling a little faint and started sweating, and the nurses noticed I was getting red, so they stopped the treatment, laid me back, and just let me relax for a little bit, and I came out of it. And they hooked me back up 20 minutes later and kept it at a slower rate and administered it like that. And that happened one more time, and then it never happened again.
Now, by the time you finished the rituximab infusion and went home, were those symptoms gone?
Yes.
So it was only during the infusion you had those
yes.
symptoms? How about the chemotherapy? What was that like?
It wasn't that bad. You know, you hear it's a nightmare, but, you know, like I said, I threw up in the hospital a couple times and once at home, then I never threw up again. There was some new nausea medicine that came out within that time, and once I got that, I never had any problems again. And, you know, the feeling, when you first get it, you feel real tired and weird. It's a real alien feeling. It's kind of similar to flu symptoms, but something I definitely never had felt before. But, you know, you just chill out for a night, go to sleep, and hopefully the next day you feel a little better. Sometimes the next day I'd feel that way too. But by the next night, I'd always be back to normal. Not normal, but feeling okay.
How about hair loss?
I lost most of my hair. I didn't lose all of it, which was odd. But I just shaved my head. You know, I didn't care. I'm a guy anyways. And I kind of liked not having hair on my body for a little bit. It didn't bother me.
Have you gotten to know other cancer patients?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
What's that been like?
Really interesting. I like it. With me, I'm a little younger compared to all these people in the room. Sometimes there's younger than me, but there's mostly old people who sleep through their treatments. But there's some really interesting people that you meet. You know, I have a lot of really good friends now through it. Just really cool people that, you know, a lot of them don't talk, you know, you kind of sit in your chair and got their own little thing going. A lot of them want to find out about your story, too, because, you know, everyone wants to kind of relate their condition and get through it together, and really met some special people. I really have, and I really enjoyed that part.
Anything you've observed in terms of the kinds of people or situations where people tend to be able to adapt to this kind of situation, whereas people who are not able to adapt?
Yes, I think I've definitely noticed, you know, I don't know a lot with these older people that are so quiet, and there's so many of those that you see every other day or whenever, but for people that I talk to, a lot of people, you know, ignore it and kind of just live another life besides it and don't like it. But the people that really want to get through it seem to get through it. I've just noticed that attitude is so much better than chemo, I believe, that if someone doesn't fight it and kind of works with it, if they have a good attitude and a positive outlook, their condition is much better. And there's a lot of them that, like, complain about their doctors or the needles or whatever and kind of bitch at, you know, why they got it or whatever. But I keep seeing that you can't be that way. You know, you have to be positive and get through it in a positive manner, or, you know, you're hurting yourself more than you know. And I've noticed that with friends that I've met. The ones that are real carefree and kind of open and want to talk and stuff seem to do better. Of course, there's a lot of times where everyone's in pain and feeling real horrible, but you have to get through it with a good light, and it seems to be a lot better condition for you.
Where do you think that comes from, being able to sort of find that strength?
I think it's just being a strong person to start with. I think a lot of it is that, or you kind of learn to do it. I've seen that too. You know, I see these introverted people that read a lot and don't really do things, and suddenly they're in these rooms, you know, full of people, and either they talk to you or they don't. And the ones that kind of reach out and just kind of experiment with their condition and try to meet people and do new things as best they can have a lot better condition of life. I mean, some people will just go through the treatment and, you know, be their same kind of self, but the ones that kind of want to meet you and talk to you a little bit always seem to be a little better and a little up and normal.
Is there anything positive that came out of this experience?
Oh, yeah. Just the fact that it drops all these social barriers for me was a really cool thing. A lot cooler than I thought. You realize the fear of dying really limited you before. Then suddenly you know you're going to die. You don't have that fear anymore. And you kind of look at things that you want to try and do. And I remember making a list of things, you know, like my top 10 things I wanted to do. And I've just gone out and done them. You know, I wrote a bull for my TV show. That was just the craziest thing I've ever done in my life.
You wrote a bull?
Yeah, I entered a rodeo in the Professional Bull Riders, the PBA. And I had a buddy who was a rider, and so he got me in. And I didn't do any training. I just walked up to the rodeo, signed up, and did it. I mean, it was by far the scariest thing I've ever done, but the coolest thing. You don't expect it to be fun. You expect it to be horrifying and you might die, and that was definitely there. But suddenly I'm sitting on a bull, there's this crowd screaming, the cameras are around me, and it was just a really cool experience. And, you know, I rode it for a few seconds and it threw me, but riding it for those few seconds was a cool moment, you know, that I would never have ever done that. And I was still on chemo at the time. But that was incredible. And the TV show is incredible. That's something that I always wanted to do my whole life, but never approached it because I was doing something else, or I think I was just a little scared to start the process. And I decided I was going to do it. As soon as I did, people just came to me. I had investors. Here's a program. We can buy this show. And I had a half-hour show I was doing every other week.
What kind of show?
We called it Lounge Television. I used to do a live show and write a column in my town, Fort Myers, called Ask Andy, and it was kind of a sex column. And so I had lounge girls in the TV show, and it was just a variety show. I'd go out and ride a bull. I'd have a band every show. I had dancers, a DJ. It was a really cool, kind of fun variety show. And that show is a good example of something you can achieve once you get this release of worrying about dying. You know, I still don't like the fact that I have the death sentence hanging over me or whatever, but it's really given me the power to not be afraid to do things. Because it's as relaxed as I've always been and confident that I've always been in myself, and I've done a lot of crazy things, there's always been barriers that stop me from going over to talk to that person or to write a bowl or to start a TV show or start my own column or whatever. And after you get through the initial shock value, you realize you've been giving a freed up kind of feeling about yourself now, which is something new to me.
Any fears or concerns about the future?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I could die. I could get, you know, the flu out here today, and me being on Campath be real complicated. But that doesn't bother me. I could also walk out and get hit by a piano, you know, coming out of a building, or a car runs off the road. We all have that in our lives. And it's funny, you know, I see more people dying from stuff like that than people like me with cancer. I'm concerned that I might run out of silver bullets, but I'm not too concerned about that. You know, why worry about something that's so far off and iffy anyways? So I'm pretty positive about the future, and I've really, in a weird way, enjoyed the whole cancer process. I don't know if you've ever heard that before, but it's been kind of fun. You know, it's been a bunch of new experiences for me. It's opened doors. I throw these huge benefits now in my town for other cancer charities. And I remember I wrote a column for my newspaper, and it was edited because I was too cheerful about my condition, and they cut out some of my jokes because they thought I was being too lighthearted about getting cancer and stuff. But I've kind of liked it in a weird way. You know, you're kind of like, okay, now I know I've got it, so let's just live with it and move on instead of worrying about it. Am I going to get it?
Has humor helped?
Oh, yeah. I'm a pretty weird person, and I do a lot of funny stuff, and I've never changed that. But dealing with cancer in a funny way can be really fun because people don't do that. So when you say jokes, people don't know how to laugh or whatever. So it's always funny to freak people out about that. And I remember in the hospital, the column I wrote was a true story that I kept seeing this hot girl that one of the nurses said, oh, this girl has leukemia too. And besides the fact of me wanting to meet her, she was this hot little 19-year-old girl. And every time she'd walk by my room, you know, with all her little, you know, pump and bag saying I have to get mobile with mine, and I could never catch her. And so it was like I'm in my dress walking around trying to find this girl, and it was like this search to find this hot leukemia chick. And I imagined we'd meet in the library and our chemo bags would entangle and I'd have some funny line to say to her, and I never got to do that. But, you know, I'm on my deathbed and I'm wondering when the hot nurse is going to come in to check on me, you know. So there's a lot of funny situations like that where I'm checking out nurses, wondering if I could meet them or go out with them, and I'm bald, you know, about to die. And so you meet really interesting people and you're put in some pretty funny situations sometimes.
Has your reaction to this whole thing sort of surprised yourself?
Yeah, I think so. But it is true to my person, the way I've gone through this. I don't think I've really changed greatly. I think I have become more positive. But I was a pretty positive person before and pretty optimistic. And I didn't let things, you know, bog me down, or I didn't stress out about stuff. But it surprised me a little bit that I've done so well through it. Because you think you get cancer, you're going to die. But that's not the case. It really isn't. You know, you can beat things and get through them. And fortunately, I have a disease that's treatable. So in that sense, I feel lucky that it's not some rare disorder that we've only seen one in a million times. There's no treatment, but we can try this. You know, I've been lucky to get the type of cancer that I have. So I'm fortunate for that.
Do you see things differently now than before?
You definitely do. You know, your first ride out of the hospital is just an incredible feeling to smell the air and see trees and plants. And my first night, I went to the beach and saw a sunset, and it was just like seeing it for the first time. And being out in the world, because you're kind of stuck in this bubble, you know, no bacteria, neutropenic environment. And you kind of get out of that alien, you know, floor that you're stuck on, and it's so nice and freeing, and you can just sit in a park and just be the happiest dork there because you just have to be alive. And you really don't sweat the small stuff as much anymore, that's for sure.
Any advice you would give to somebody else in the same situation?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to deal with it however they're going to do it. You know, it's either you can cry and complain about it and cuss to God, or you can do something about it and make yourself happy and do things, you know, and be positive. And definitely has an effect on how you progress through your condition. And I know it's hard to do it or to see that way, but you really need to seek out positive things and know what you like and do the things you like. If there's something you want to do, it's time to do it. And that's real good advice coming from someone that's always had things that I've wanted to do. Now, instead of putting them off, it's time to do those things. So go do them and have fun while you still can.
What about exercise?
I exercise a lot. I kind of become a freak now. But I thought it was very important. When I was on the cancer ward in the hospital, I was just doing laps all
really?
The time. Just, you know, you get your little pump stand with all your bags, and I would just walk around the halls. And I would do that as much as I could. And just stretches and massages were so helpful. And it kind of works oxygen through your system and kind of clears out all the junk that you're taking and they're putting in you. I remember first few days, I was always doing laps, walking around, and the nurses were always like, you know, other patients wear pants, Mr. Howard. I noticed I was in boxers my whole time, and I always had these like nice bed pants on. But exercise is definitely important, and I've exercised through all of my treatments. Sometimes I take it easier when my red blood cells are down, but even if I can't do something, I'll just stop it and move on to something else.
What kinds of benefits have you seen from exercise specifically? Does it help relax you? Does it help with that thing of positiveness that you said was so important?
Yeah, it does help with that. You actually start feeling good about yourself. You know, you see results too. You think you can't look better while you're in this bad state, but you really can. It's surprising. And you'd be surprised at how much exercise you really can do once you try it. I have noticed I go into exercise sometimes not feeling good, feeling a little tired from the treatments. And once I've stopped working out, running or on a Stairmaster or lifting weights, after you kind of sweat it out, you feel good after that. And you get energy from it and it relaxes you in the same way. That was a huge benefit for me. And I really like it now. I mean, I keep asking the doctor, should I not be working out? Because I work out as hard as I can now. You know, I'm right in the middle of treatments. And he's always like, go ahead and do it. If you feel good about it, do it, because it's going to be good for you, you know, to get your system moving like that. And it really has. And I've never had any trouble, even through chemo. You don't feel good, but you can do stuff. You know, any type of exercise, I think, is good. And I think people should be doing it.
Any other sort of lifestyle things that have been helpful? What about things like music or meditation?
Yeah, I meditate. I have before, though, also. But I do notice when you think you're going to die, everyone's telling you all this information, all these books, these web pages and videos. You're overwhelmed with stress and information. It's real important to just, at one point, sit down, relax, and try not to think about anything. And just be calm and concentrate on breathing. And once you come out of that for, you know, 5 or 10 minutes, you'll be blown away at how focused you are and relaxed and how able you are to deal with situations now. That's really helped me.
Do you think these kinds of things that you're talking about apply equally well to older people?
Yes, I do. I know a lot of older people are real fragile, and you can really see that when they're getting treatments and getting up and down. But I also think those people would be surprised at how much exercise they're able to do still. It's kind of the case where you have a sore shoulder, so you start favoring it, and you don't want to do too much with it, but you realize, geez, I can do this move. And once you start stretching it out and doing something with it, it gets better on its own.
What about food and nutrition issues?
I think it's important to be on a good diet, but I also think it's important to chow down on a Philly cheesesteak, you know, if that's what you're craving right now. I think it's important that you go after any type of food you want to get when you feel like it. Now, of course, once you start getting a little stronger and better, I think diet is really important. And it's probably the worst thing that I'm at right now. I work out, but then I'll go home and have a milkshake, you know, and a cheeseburger. So it's really hard for me now to be a good eater. But I know that would be a major compliment to getting me better, would be a good diet.
What about vitamins and supplements?
I think they're also great. I take them once a day. I don't know enough of what I should be taking, but I think that's important too. You know, sometimes it's tricking yourself into making yourself better.
Do you think that part of it is trying to regain some control to feel like you're doing something?
Yeah, I don't really feel like I've lost control, but I do feel like I like to have any edge I can get. And so, you know, any type of research stuff I'm always into, interested in, and it's something new that someone's doing that no one's really tried, I want to know about, and I want to try it, you know. As long as it's not going to hurt you, why not try it? Maybe it will hurt you, but if there's some avenue open, I think you need to explore it and not just say, okay, I'm staying with conventional medicine. You know, maybe spiritual is going to help you. Maybe some witch doctor somewhere will help you. And different people, different treatments. You know, even with the same diseases, I think that's a very true statement that some people aren't going to be open to things as they will to other things. And so if they feel more comfortable trying that, then they need to try it.
This concludes our program. Special thanks to Dr. Hart, Dr. Hagemeister, and the three patients we visited. And thank you for listening. This is Dr. Neil Love for NHL Update.